It wasn't entirely surprising when two police officers came to Hank's door. Henry Bush? Yeah. Suddenly, the cops spun Hank around and slapped cuffs on him. Mr. Bush, we're placing you under arrest. It's my duty to advise you of your rights. You have a right to remain silent. But on what charges? Suspected rape. Talented warriors heard the telephones ringing all over town. The entire remnant was buzzing with the news of Hank's arrest. The praying began. Bush has fallen, said Tal. Only Hogan remains. He turned to Kaiman and Mota. Did Sarah have the keys? Kaiman answered. She had several keys copied before she left her job at the police station. She's met with Hogan and Kruger. They have the keys and know how to get in. Late that night, Marshall hid the Buick in a vacant lot a few blocks from Courthouse Square. He and Bernice were dressed in dark clothes and rubber gloves and carried flashlights. The burglar alarm at the police station was right where Sarah said it would be. Marshall used one of the copied keys to deactivate it. Another key opened the station door, and a third got them into Brummel's office. There sat Brummel's new cabinetry. Marshall clicked on his flashlight and swung open the lower left cabinet door, and there sat a recording machine with a good supply of tape. Eureka! Yeah, it must be signal activated. Switches on automatically whenever an input comes in. Bernice found some files. It looks like a catalog. Look, names, dates, conversations, and what tapes they're on. That handwriting looks familiar. Who in the world has time to list all this stuff? When was that conversation between Susan and Weed? Today, yesterday, who knows? Must be on the machine now. Marshall wound the tape back, and they began to listen to conversations between all sorts of people about all kinds of topics. He put the machine on fast forward and searched ahead. A voice came from the machine.
Man, this whole thing is crazy.
That's him. That's Weed. Marshall wound the tape back to hear the whole conversation.
Yeah? Hello? Kevin, this is Susan. Yeah, I'm listening, man. What can I do? Kevin, I'm getting out, and I'm doing it tonight. Can you meet me at the Evergreen Tavern tomorrow night? Yeah. Try to bring Bernice Kruger with you. I have everything she needs to know. Man, this whole thing is crazy. You want to see my place? Somebody came in here and tore it all up. You be careful. We're all in great danger, Kevin. Kasif's moving to Ashton to take over everything. But I can't talk now. Meet me at the Evergreen tomorrow night at 8. I'll try to get there somehow. If not, I'll call you. Okay. I have to go.
The conversation was over. It wasn't much, said Marshall, but it was enough. A key rattled in the front door. Bernice and Marshall never moved so fast. She replaced all the files. Marshall slid the machine back inside the cabinet. The front door opened. They ducked behind Brummel's desk. The office door opened. The lights came on. They heard someone going to the cabinets and sliding out the machine. It was Carmen. She was winding the tape back and preparing to make more entries in the record. Don't you ever sleep? What? Oh, what are you doing here? I might ask you the same thing. Do you have any idea what time it is? You're a spy, aren't you? You spied in our office. You wiretapped our phones, and now you've run off with our investigation materials. I don't know what I'm talking about. Right. So I suppose you do this every night, too. Go over all the recorded phone conversations and log them. Listen for anything the big boys might want to know. I wasn't... And what about the Clarion's business records? Let's take care of that first.
Oh, you don't understand.
She ran into the reception area. Marshall was right on her heels, not about to let her out of his sight. He took her by the arm and spun her around. Easy, girl. We have some things to discuss. She collapsed to the floor, weeping.
Don't you understand? Don't you have any heart? I came here for help. I've been raped.
Then she flopped on the floor, weeping a little too much to be believable. Marshall took hold of her, lifting her from the floor. Come on, get up. It was just as he saw her hand come off the silent alarm button in the floor that the front door burst open, and he heard a voice holler, Freeze! Police! Carmen was no longer crying. She was smirking. Marshall put his hands up, and so did Bernice. Friends of yours? She only smiled an evil smile and stood by the two uniformed police officers. Then Alf Brummel came into the building, fresh out of bed and in his bathrobe. Well, who do we have here? Bernice Kruger, is that you? Then Julian Langstrat, also in a bathrobe, came in and sidled up to Brummel, smiling wickedly. "Read them their rights, boys, and take them into custody," said Brummel. Marshall saw the opportunity and took it. Instantly, with all his weight, he dove into Brummel's stomach and toppled Brummel and Langstrat backward into the two cops. "Run, Bernie, run!" She ran for all she was worth. Marshall did his best to remain tangled in all the arms, hands, and bodies. He just wanted to keep them busy. One cop finally recovered and ran after Bernice, bursting out the back door. He heard her running up the back alley, and away he went in hot pursuit. She stomped through a freshly tilled garden, flattening several bean poles, then across a lawn, back down an alley, ran into some garbage cans, then clambered over another fence. She was getting desperately tired and could only hope the cop was, too. Her rib was screaming in pain with every breath. Finally, she plunged into a thicket behind a gas station and sank into a dark tangle of brush. The cop hurried on. He had lost her. Marshall lay handcuffed on the floor while Langstrat, Brummel, and Carmen reviewed the recorded conversation between Kevin Weed and Susan Jacobson. Langstrat laughed. "Kruger has to be heading for the Evergreen Tavern in Baker to meet Jacobson. Poor innocent thing." "I'll have it staked out," said Brummel. As for Marshall, they had enough concocted charges to put him away for quite some time, and now they could add burglary to all the others. Through the rest of the night, Bernice fought pain, exhaustion, and faintness as she stole her way through the town. With no other alternative, she set out on foot for Highway 27. She had to get to the Evergreen Tavern in Baker.